Thank you for downloading the latest podcast from the Canada-Europe Transatlantic Dialogue, housed at Carleton University in Ottawa. The interviewees were in conversation with Helen Morris. For terms of use, please refer to the publication section of our website at www.canada-europe-dialogue.ca.
Randall Hansen, Canada Research Chair in Immigration and Governance at the University of Toronto.
Can you just briefly tell me what are the key characteristics of European integration policies up to the current financial crisis?
We've sort of had two trends. One is an expansion, which was little noticed until lately, in above all skilled immigrants to the EU. So the most recent thing, I think, is the EU Blue Card, which for the first time allows people to apply for a work permit in all of the EU member states, or will do when it takes effect, which is in just over 2 years' time. So we've had an expansion in skilled immigration. At the same time, we've had a new emphasis in integration policy on integration, if not assimilation.
Can you outline a little bit of the difference? Are you talking language issues, culture issues?
Yeah, so when we speak about immigration, we're simply saying the conditions under which people may enter and what they can do when they get there. Can they work temporarily, permanently? Can they bring family? Integration policies are about ensuring that they are integrated into the language economy and or culture. So it's mostly language training, a little bit of civics training, though mostly language.
Can you tell me, what do you think the current financial crisis, how is that going to affect immigration to Europe?
We'll have to see. There's a lot of discussion about what sort of role immigration can play possibly in addressing parts of it. But the safest bet is that we're going to see a new hardening of attitudes towards immigration. On the part of the public, I would actually predict, though predictions are dangerous, that European governments will not turn definitively against immigration.
Can you sketch out a little bit of the differences between the role of the national government and the role of the European Commission in Brussels in terms of immigration policy?
It mostly remains with national governments. I mean, they've been, until very recently, and are very cautious about handing over sovereignty. So, for example, in the Blue Card decision, the national governments would not allow it to be EU-wide. It's for a particular country, and that country can define the length. 2 years or 4 years is up to Germany. What Brussels can do effectively is set the overall conditions and move towards a harmonization of policies across the EU, but the fundamental authority remains at the member state level.
Thinking in terms of Canadian-EU relations, has there been much exchange of ideas or policies, or what's the level of communication between the two sides regarding immigration?
There's a little bit. In fact, it's probably more in the area of immigration than there are in most areas, because Canada's operated a point system more or less successfully since 1967. Less, arguably, at the moment. So EU national governments and Brussels, they send study groups to Canada, they look at the skilled point system. In that sense, it's a little bit of a model. I think we get more attention there than anywhere else.
And how do you see the relationship evolving between the two countries? I'm thinking in terms of financial crisis, if there is a bit of tightening up in terms of anti-immigration feeling, maybe more at the popular level than at the government level.
I think we're definitely going to have a short-term hardening of attitudes towards immigration. But there's two aspects to immigration demand in Europe. There's labor shortages driven by the economic cycle. Those are drying up. But there's also a demographic crisis, which is not going to go away. So over the medium term, most European countries, not necessarily Britain and France, but Germany and Southern Europe, will need more immigrants, and that's not going to go away.
So in that case, is Canada effectively competing maybe for some of the same skilled labour that the European countries are?
Yeah, they are, but I would actually say it's going the other way. Canada, because it's English-speaking, because there are large diaspora communities here, because of its history with skilled immigration, has a huge structural advantage. If we're disadvantaged against anyone, it's Americans, not the Europeans. But yes, in the case of skilled immigrants, it's a limited pool and everyone's competing in it or for it.
Okay. Is there anything else you think we should be thinking about in terms of the policies and the relationships with immigration?
Well, I think for Europe, the clearest thing is to try to design policies that avoid the colonial and guest worker experience, which was a disaster. High unemployment, social exclusion, non-acquisition of the language, and high levels of sometimes xenophobia, but sometimes, frankly, in the case of Britain, mutual distrust between, ethnic minority communities and the broader population. That has to be avoided.